Are you surprised we wound up like this?
A little bit. It looked like a close race. I thought there were four candidates that on the Republican side for governor that had a shot, but I didn't really think it was going to come down to a Brady Dillard race. And Quinn and Hines, I guess it looked very close. I can't be surprised it's close. It's just that it's extraordinarily close.
Bill Brady wasn't really mentioned by a lot of pollsters and a lot of us media. How did we miss Brady's strength?
I guess a lot of academics, too, because I thought he had misplayed his hand. I thought he had to campaign downstate harder, and he was taking downstate support for granted and going where I didn't think he would harvest a lot of votes. But in retrospect, maybe he had the right strategy. I think he had some good luck as well, because the polls had not shown him in the top three, and the other three maybe held their fire. McKenna in particular was going after Ryan and Dillard, and that not by good strategy, but just by good fortune, meant that Brady at the end wasn't really in getting hit with negative attacks like the others were.
Well, how did Brady get to where he was? Was this an ideological election, or is this a regional election with Brady being the only downstater and maybe the others sharing the Chicago collar suburbs vote?
I'm going to have to pore over the county level returns eventually to figure out how regional it was. I don't think it was strongly ideological. I think an interested voter who watched the debates, listened to the debates, probably came away with the sense that they were saying fairly similar things. And I think just a mildly attentive voter might have, an hour after a debate, thought, wait a minute, what was the difference between, now I can't really remember which one of them said none of them were talking about tax increases very strongly. They all said the same kind of generic things about cleaning up Springfield. And so it didn't strike me that even though they may differ in their reputations for ideology thus far, that it was played up in the campaign.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people, because of the closeness of both of these races, are going to second guess, you know, the strategic decisions that they made. You know, what are the things that the winners are saying they're glad they did, and what losers may be thinking they wish they did differently?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know who the winners and losers are entirely, but let's suppose that Quinn's probably enough votes ahead of Hines now that, barring just on an ordinary recount where they just go back to the old ballots, he'll win. So Quinn, I think, has to be very glad for very late good economic news. It seemed like he was just getting pounded, partly for his own policies and mistakes, and the prison early release most of all. But he was able at the end to point to some new jobs in the state. And maybe it was also that the tactic of going back to personality and saying, look, never mind these details of these scandals. You know who I am. I'm Pat Quinn, and the Democratic voters know what I stand for. Hines, I think he ran a very good campaign. Really, I don't know that there's some obvious mistake he made. Brady, I guess I'd have to say his tactics were much better than I appreciated. He knew where he had the campaign and where he was already strong, and he didn't have to, from past campaigns maybe, he had a lot of strength downstate, and he didn't really have to shore it up. McKenna, I think, maybe made the mistake that the Democrat in Massachusetts, Coakley, made. The polls showed him ahead. He thought he was ahead, and so he played a very cautious campaign and tried to run as anointed Booster Strong, but as the default vote. And maybe he just didn't give voters enough reason in the end. The undecideds were always high in the polls, and the people who went in and really decided while they were sitting in the booth, if they thought about it, maybe just couldn't think of anything about McKenna that stuck out in their minds.
In the end, he may have been the one that spent the most money, too. What does that say about the influence of money in Illinois politics?
Well, it's a little bit refreshing to see that the top spender doesn't always win. I think some of the people who are most unhappy with campaign spending, sometimes you just assume that money guarantees you a victory. McKenna certainly will have outspent the others. I don't know what the final numbers will look like, but at least on the Republican gubernatorial side. And it isn't enough alone, and a lot of the money was spent on campaign ads that maybe pulled Ryan and Dillard down somewhat, so it had an effect. But in a multi-candidate race like this, with seven candidates and six of them at the end actively campaigning, it's hard to know who you should be attacking, and I think it's harder to pull off a negative campaign. So money's certainly important, but it isn't maybe quite the magic bullet that people sometimes pretend.
Let's look a bit at the Senate race. How does that shape up now with the Janulius versus Kirk race, and how is that going to play out on the national theater?
It's going to be pretty prominent. The Republicans are feeling like they have a lot of possibilities for gains, and I don't know that this will be the most newsworthy race in the country. I think Harry Reid in Nevada, it looks like he's in serious trouble, and since he's the majority leader, I think that's a race that will get a whole lot of press, particularly if it's true that Reid looks like he's on his way to a loss. Massachusetts was an exceptionally newsworthy result because it's such a Democratic state, and they returned a Republican. People think about Illinois as though it's awfully blue, a very Democratic state, not quite in the Massachusetts range, but a Democratic stronghold. And yet, I think if you're handicapping this race today, you'd start off saying Kirk is in the better position. They're both pretty strong candidates, but when people talk about what Kirk's vulnerabilities are, at the moment they're just saying he needs to shore up his base. He has to persuade conservative Republicans that he's conservative enough for them. I don't think that's a terribly hard thing for a candidate, especially when the party is hungry like Illinois Republicans are and feel like this is a rare window. And Julius, on the other hand, I think has a lot of the primary exposed that he has serious vulnerabilities in terms of his record as treasurer and his family history, and those are harder things to shake.
What about the fact that we have for the Senate a moderate Republican, for governor, either if it's Brady or Dillard, a pretty conservative candidate. On the Democrats, again, maybe some ideological differences. Both parties, express wanting to find party unity before November. What are the chances of that, and is it really necessary as we head into a general election?
It is necessary in this. You don't really want deep acrimony. I think the last presidential election showed that you can have a really, really tight primary and a lot of very disappointed Democrats who wanted Clinton to win, who nonetheless came out in November and voted for Obama. So it's not a disaster to have an exceptionally close primary and a lot of disappointed people on your side if you can bring them home. The Republicans, even though they had a much bigger field, I think, and there was some mud flying at the end, had, on the whole, a friendlier campaign, and I think unity will be easier there. I sense that Quinn and Hines maybe really detest each other at this point, and even if it's a 5,000 vote margin and a recount doesn't seem likely to turn things around, I don't know that it'll be that, supposing the hint that Quinn wins, the Hines supporters will be quick to decide they have to stand with their party in November.
But will that mean, bad news for the Democrats, or can Quinn win with some disgruntlement, and it may be personal on the Democratic side, ideological on the Republican side, but party unity may be overstated?
Yeah, it'll probably be a relatively, the primary was seems to have been a fairly low turnout primary, as we thought it would be because it's early. The general election maybe will have some pretty close and exciting races, but it's still an off-year race, and that means turnout will be lower, and that's another ingredient usually that makes it easier for the Republicans to do well. But in the end, it's still a state with more Democrats than Republicans, and if Quinn has some Mift-Hines supporters out there and is worried the turnout's low, it's still certainly a winnable race. I wouldn't by any stretch say that this is it's necessarily a good Republican year. I think the conditions are good for the Republicans, but they have to run really good campaigns to win in a state where the Democrats naturally start with an advantage just in raw numbers.
And it's a long way to November.
It certainly is, yeah, especially because it's not the end of March right now. We're still in early February. So once the recounting's done, the provisional ballots are all in, we finally get the final numbers, there will be a lull, no doubt. There will be serious campaign fundraising ongoing for people who are real political junkies. There will be news to follow. But for most voters in Illinois, there will be a period here where they'll forget all about this and focus on basketball and other matters.
I think that's all I need, unless you have anything else to add.
I guess I didn't know yet whether the controller race in the Democratic Party side was decided.
Controller that, let me think.
Krishnamoorthy conceded or not?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. So, even if it occurred to me that if the Hines-Quinn margin seems like it's too big and Hines doesn't insist on a recount, if the controller was close enough, we might still end up with a recount. The maybe the worst thing for Democrats would be a recount that shows serious irregularities. The last couple of really prominent recounts, the U.S. Senate race in Minnesota, that was the Coleman-Franken race, and the Washington governor's race several years back, the leading candidate lost in both cases, and in part it turned out because new ballots showed up somewhere or other. Someone discovered ballots that hadn't been counted. That's the kind of irregularity that I think would be even more damaging if that shows up in either party's side. That really leaves some of the supporters of the loser disgruntled and unhappy, and it's harder to find party unity if you end up with not just a simple counting of ballots, but discovery of new ballots and suspicion of fraud.
Even if the irregularities are found in the Republican ballot, is that still going to have an impact on the Democrats, though, since they're the party in power?
It might just reinforce the sense that politics is fixed in the state, and I think since the Democrats control everything at the moment in the state, they're the party that loses with the voters who think, I'm just tired of this state, it seems like it's corrupt and rigged. So, yeah, I think in the end, any sense that there was something wrong with the election would hurt the Democrats a little more than the Republicans.